Ross has all the spring deals you want, so you can say yes to more looks for you and your budget. Tube tops for less? Yes. Dad shorts for the weekend? Yes. Mini skirts for less than online? That's a yes for you and your bank account. Find your certified yes for me moment and save 20 to 60% off department store prices every day at Ross. Hurry in for spring deals today. Items and styles vary by store.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Welcome to Bet the Edge. I'm Jay Croucher here with Drew Dinsick. Today we're going to talk about the Sweet 16 Friday games, talk about the World Series market in baseball, and then close out with some of our best bets for the weekend. But Drew, you wanted to start off by talking about Stephen Curry.
Yeah, got a knife in my chest from Steph last night against the Orlando Magic. And I mean, I kind of woke up this morning, flipped open prices, expecting to see him at like minus 200 for clutch player of the year, and he's plus 200. What? At this point, if you really think DeRozan is a more clutch player, I don't know that you haven't been watching games. If you are just looking at stats, then I don't know how you're concluding this. I was kind of taken aback that this is sort of the state of the market, and maybe people just aren't paying attention to it. But for the record, Curry now has a 10-point lead in terms of total accumulated points in the clutch so far this season. He has done that while playing, 20 minutes fewer over the balance of the season. If you go based on per possession, he is generating 0.624 points per possession himself in the clutch, which is like tough to really wrap my brain around. Just for comparison, DeRozan is at 0.479. So you have a huge gap in just not only he's leading in volume, but like when you actually break it down, he's been clearly much more clutch. I know that the Bulls, like, we're really giving the clutch award player to a team that's three games under 500. Like there's just so much swirling about this that I cannot understand. And like to like kind of put an exclamation point on this, like Draymond Green got ejected after 4 minutes of the Magic game. I think everybody in the universe assumed, well, that'll do that. You know, this team's exhausted. I have no idea how they get through now without Draymond. And Curry literally kind of saved the day for them as the Magic closed the gap in the fourth quarter. And it's like, what else do you need to see? Like, this is exactly it. I don't understand why he's not the meaningful favorite. And it feels like this is a wrong price.
Yeah, I agree with you, Drew. I agree with everything you said. I think the difficulty in projecting the market is that no one really knows what is going to be valued. We only have 1 year of evidence for the award. We have, I believe it was circulated to voters, like what they should look at for this award. And I believe last year, a big thing was total clutch points. And 1, 2, 3 last year were 1, 2, 3 in total clutch points. Now, if you go by that, Stephen Curry has that lead. I've got it here on NBA.com. It's 181 to 172. He has done that in 132 clutch minutes. DeRozan's done it in 176. So he's scoring more than DeRozan in significantly less time, to your point. Their shooting splits are like bizarrely identical, where Curry is 51% from the field, 46% from three, 95% from the line. DeRozan, an identical, 51% from the field, 46% from three, and then 88% from the line. The only difference is that Curry has taken 65 threes and DeRozan has taken 13, which is a massive difference. And I think we're going to start to see this a bit more circulated. To me, almost the loudest thing in the race is that Curry has made 30 clutch threes this season. No one else has made more than 13. That's completely insane. The argument for DeRozan has been that his clutch plus minus is a lot better than Curry's. He's plus 78, Curry's plus 14. And then his clutch team record is better than Curry's. The Bulls are 22 and 15 in clutch games. The Warriors are 20 and 18. I just don't think that last stuff is going to matter that much. Like 20 and 18 v 22 and 15, like I don't think that's super material. The plus minus thing, sure, DeRozan's is significantly better. Plus clutch plus minus is the stupidest thing in the world. And I'm not sure if people are going to realize this, but so last night, Curry was on Wednesday night, Curry against the Magic, his clutch plus minus was plus 10. You know why that is, Drew? Because you only get into clutch time when it's the last 5 minutes of a game or overtime and the score is within 5 points. So what happened is that the Magic kept on going down eight and then they would hit a three to bring it back to five. But that 3 points doesn't count against Steph and his plus minus because the shot wasn't taken when they were within 5 points. And then Clay would hit a three with the Warriors up five, push it back out to eight, and then Curry would be plus three and clutch time off of that. It's just the stupidest thing in the world. And he makes that last bucket, the three, the step back to push it back out to eight, which counts as a clutch three because they're up five. And I think a big thing in this race is that Curry, I think, has just had more moments than DeRozan. He had the ridiculous three to beat Phoenix on national television when the pass from Pods, I think, was behind him. He's got the night-night thing, which I think is like a big thing. Like in terms of clutch phenomenons, it's night-night and Dame time. Those are the two big things. Like DeRozan had the massive game against the Pacers when Kobe White got collapsed on by Pascal Siakam. But outside of that, like I can't really remember what DeRozan has done.
Yeah, you're preaching the choir. I'll go a step further. I feel like DeRozan legitimately like holds the like is saving up his usage for the fourth quarter. I don't know if it's strategic for winning this award or it's just like he knows that he can get the shots he wants when everybody else is a little bit more tired because DeRozan plays a different basketball game in 1-3 than he does in 4. Like he just does. And, you know, I don't think we should be necessarily rewarding that, especially for a team that's 3 games under .500 compared to the Warriors who are 4 games over.
Yep. I think you're minus 200 fair. That's right where I've got it too. So I think this is completely wrong. And right down the market, DeRozan minus 270, Curry plus 210. I think that is just the market just not understanding a weird award. And I think we're on the right side of it. All right, let's talk about March Madness. Let's start off in the South region, Drew, with 11 seed NC State against 2 seed Marquette. Marquette, 6.5 point favorites. Total is 150.5. What do you like here?
Yeah, so this one's tough because you take any type of season long data on North Carolina State. This is probably fair, but the way they played in the ACC tournament and carried through to the NCAA tournament is a much different, much better team. And so it kind of makes this turn into a pretty clear, you know, dog or pass type of situation. NC State has, in particular, a big named DJ Burns, who's like... he's playing like the closest that I can kind of, I don't even really know who to equate him to, but he's a very, very solid facilitator and they're putting all kinds of shooting around him. And they're just like a very good team. So I think this is probably going to be a pretty competitive contest. Marquette, for what it's worth, is much more dynamic overall offensively. And so they're going to be able to, fill it up in general. I think the fact that the total really hasn't gotten, poked much is surprising. I think this looks like a pretty clear over game to me. I'm not exactly sure where the defensive stops are coming from either side here. And unless Marquette can get DJ Burns into foul trouble, he's gonna be tough to stop. And I think ultimately this probably comes down to late game execution. Marquette likely goes through, but if you make me take a side, I'm gonna take the points with the Wolfpack.
Okay, riding with the Wolfpack. Let's go to the Midwest. 5 seed Gonzaga are playing Purdue. Purdue 5.5 point favorites. Total 154.5. Friday 7:40 p.m. Eastern game in Detroit. Who do you like here, Drew?
Yeah, everything in my kind of pre tournament breakdown would have been like licking my chops for a bet on Gonzaga here. Like, here we go. Like, this is it. These two teams were not expected to be all that different when we started the regular season. And Gonzaga had, some pretty unimpressive moments early on, but have really kind of put it together late and had some pretty, pretty strong performances, most notably their second half against Kansas. And if you want to kind of give Kansas the credit for that, fine. I think Gonzaga is going to be a tough test here for Purdue, but Purdue is a much more dynamic team than the team that got ousted by a 16 seed last year. Zach Edey is still a massive problem. Really no idea what Gonzaga is going to have to try to basically single him and then make life hell for all the players on the perimeter and just hope that somebody, you know, maybe more than one person has an off shooting night around the perimeter for the Boilermakers. Kind of leaves the door open for them to get a lead and put some pressure on Purdue. Gonzaga without a lead in this game is in trouble. Gonzaga really does need to, you know, if at all, shorten the second half, put Purdue in a position where, you know, every possession they must get points, because Purdue is not a team that can necessarily generate extra possessions via turnover. They are elite offensive rebounding. So I would say that just in general, swarming the glass for Gonzaga and getting the defensive rebounds when Purdue misses is hugely important in this contest. I think the line and the total are probably exactly fair. If I had to have a bet on this game, I'm going to swing on under 154.5 under the kind of just the general hope that Gonzaga shortens this one and just in general that, you know, they can find a way to make things tough for the perimeter players for Purdue.
Okay, Purdue are plus 600 to win it all, third favorite behind UConn and Houston. Let's talk about your alma mater, your beloved Duke, who are four seed up against Houston, second favorite for the tournament, plus 550. Like I said, Houston 3.5-point favorites. The total is a low 134.5. Do you think the total is low enough?
Yeah, it's probably not. Duke plays a style of basketball that's unfamiliar to a lot of people who are kind of used to seeing this team. And I guess the handicap really boils down to, you know, what do you do, you know, with the information that we've gotten to this point in the tournament where Houston, who is the best in the Big 12 has been weak. They have looked beatable. Houston themselves looked like extremely, you know, vulnerable at the end of that round of 32 game. Meanwhile, the ACC has looked wildly underappreciated heading into this one with, you know, four teams getting to this stage of the tournament, none of them really especially close. So if you kind of take some of that spirit and you look at this market and you see that there's been a 1-point shift in the direction of Duke, I think that kind of explains it. People are kind of reevaluating the ACC broadly. And I get it, but I do think that Houston does have physicality, which has, you know, long been an issue for a Duke team that is just younger and smaller. It's going to be pretty clearly up to Filipowski to kind of meet the physical nature of the bigs, who are very good at rim protection, albeit not, you know, quite as tall for Houston. The kind of key for Duke here is just going to be literally matching that physicality, matching the intensity, and not, you know, letting Houston kind of dictate the state of the game state. I have a lot of Houston in pocket to win the tournament. I'm ready to pretty much write it off because Honestly, they look like they're on a different class than the likes of the Purdue's and the UConn's right now. And, they now have a tough out with Duke and in round four in the Sweet 16, and then are going to get a tough matchup, presumably against Creighton in the Elite Eight. So, I mean, against Marquette in the Elite Eight. So, cold water for me on with the Cougars. Some of that is probably just seeing how the Big 12 broadly has looked, just in general. I'm wearing some scars from the likes of the TCUs of the world who were terrible, and Texas Tech, who didn't even really show up against NC State, you know, and Kansas was, I didn't have Kansas in that game, but boy, did they not look up for the challenge against Gonzaga. So, you know, in general, I'm starting to feel like the Big 12 might have been a hair overrated.
Okay. Well, some scars heal, Drew, as we both know. I think Houston, someone who bet a lot on Houston during the regular season, that it does get a little grimy on offense, and obviously the defense is magnificent, but there is a lot of like go do something Jamal Shedd at the end of games. And it's not like Jamal Shedd is a clutch player of the year, Stephen Curry, or anything in terms of his ability to get something really, really good though. He is somewhat reliable. It's just the offense does get a little bit bogged down at times. All right, let's talk about Creighton and Tennessee, 3-seed v. 2-seed. Tennessee, 3.5-point favorites. The total is 143.5. This is Friday 10 p.m. game. Do you like Tennessee here?
Yeah, I like him a little bit, not enough to lay the points. And I think the strongest angle here, we talked about on Sunday, which is the under. It's come down from 144.5 on the open to 143.5. I think that's directionally correct. But even that, I think, still has room to bet to the under. There's kind of a straightforward reason why. Tennessee relies pretty heavily on one shooter in Dalton Knecht. If he has any kind of issues whatsoever, and Creighton has, you know, the bodies in general to do a decent job defending him, then Tennessee is going to go through stretches where their offense just looks really, really, really challenging. Creighton, similarly, is going up against an elite defense for the first time in a long time, and I think this is going to be a huge, huge test for them. Creighton does not get a lot of easy points, no free points at all. They're one of the, they have one of the most significant challenges getting to the free throw line across everyone in college basketball, let alone people who are here alive at the death here. And it's tough for me to see that if you're not getting to the free throw line, that you're going to be able to overcome, you know, the third best defense in the country, which is what I rate Tennessee right now. So, yeah, I think this sets up pretty well for a defensive masterclass for both teams. I think Tennessee comes through and probably covers, the game really does boil down to, I think, Tennessee kind of getting a lead in the second half and just keeping Creighton at arm's length. It's worth noting that there are two sides to the story with the free throw situation, which is Creighton never goes to the line, but they never send their opponents to the line. And if you can kind of think what that, you know, how do you translate that? Well, there's no whistles. There's no stoppages. Like, this game is going to get, it's going to melt into the oblivion. And I think that's really why the under stands out as probably the best bet for me across everything on Friday.
Okay. Under it is in Creighton, Tennessee. All right, Drew, opening day is here, but it's never too late to squeeze in another draft. So for those cramming before the regular season begins, grab your RotoWorld Baseball Draft Guide. It's loaded with comprehensive positional rankings, projections, and player profiles to ensure your draft is a success. Visit nbcsports.com/draftguide and use code BASEBALL24 to get 10% off at checkout.
Ross has all the spring deals you want, so you can say yes to more looks for you and your budget. Tube tops for less? Yes. Dad shorts for the weekend? Yes. Mini skirts for less than online? That's a yes for you and your bank account. Find your certified yes for me moment and save 20 to 60% off department store prices every day at Ross. Hurry in for spring deals today. Items and styles vary by store.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
All right, World Series odds, the LA Dodgers engulfed in potential scandal, who knows, at the moment, plus 350, they're your World Series favorite. The Atlanta Braves, plus 450, and then there is a big gap to four AL teams, the Astros, Yankees, Orioles, and Rangers, and then you get deeper into the Phillies, Mariners, Blue Jays, etc. Do you have any leans in this market?
I kind of want to take a swing on the Rangers at 14-1 just because I liked so much of what they did in their run last year, and it doesn't feel one-off. And they have a youth movement coming to kind of backfill some of the players they lost. And You know, I think the fact that there is as big a gap as there is between the Astros and the Rangers, it does not really make sense to me. So that's kind of the only thing that really stands out here. I think in general, taking a swing in the AL makes more sense to me than taking a swing in the NL. You know, I know that we are in the direct shadow of Dodgers winning whatever 100 plus games last year, being a clear kind of, you know, getting the bye and then getting swept by a team that had to come through the wild card round. But I still think the fact that you are kind of bypassing that stage of competition, if you are, you know, a team like the Braves and the Dodgers, is going to be meaningful in terms of your win equity. And, you know, there's a lot more chaos in terms of who even gets into the picture, who is even in the mix in that 3-6 in the NL. So I'm kind of steering clear of that. AL to me feels much more stratified. I think you pretty clearly have, you know, four teams that I think will very likely be in the mix, and then a couple of seats at the table from the, you know, the winner of the NL, or excuse me, the AL Central, and then whoever out of that you know, kind of tier of Tampa, Toronto, Seattle, you know, whoever out of that mix, you know, can kind of really pop their head up. I don't really rate many of them compared to what you get out of the Rangers at this point. So Rangers for me at 14-1 would be the swing. Do you have a stronger angle?
I think firstly, the two things I would say in this market is in the NL, if you're taking teams outside the Dodgers and the Braves, just be prepared that potentially the price that you take is just not going to be value relative to just rolling over series prices, because the Dodgers and Braves are just in their own tier as teams, and that's shown with the stratification of this market. Like, there's a chance, oh, you like the Diamondbacks to go on a run, or the Diamondbacks might be like plus 220 in a series against the Braves. So also the big thing, always the big thing in this market is like, what is your path to the postseason in terms of your division? So for instance, like you can make the case that the Padres or the Diamondbacks might be a better team than the Cleveland Guardians, but the Cleveland Guardians have a much easier path to the postseason because the behemoth in their division is not the LA Dodgers, it's the Minnesota Twins, who aren't really a behemoth at all. So that would be the other thing that I'd weigh, that if you're looking for a long shot, one, you're probably better off looking in the AL because you don't have those two giants to deal with. The team that the market rates the best in the AL, take your pick really, out of Houston and the Yankees, neither of whom are ultra terrifying. And then it's a slight dip to teams like the Rangers and the Mariners, Orioles in that mix as well. So I think, yeah, if you're looking for a long shot, you're probably better off just in principle just looking in the AL, and then probably really in the AL Central. So that if I was looking, you know, outside of the favorites, the teams that I would be looking to bet are the Twins. If you can get them in the 30-1 range, they have a lot of youth and upside, particularly on offense. Guys like Royce Lewis, might just be the ninth best hitter in baseball or something. He's just already started off. He had a home run in his first at bat on opening day. And they have guys like my man Edouard Julien, who has the patience of a saint at the plate. And so they've just got a lot of youth. I think they're a very well-managed team. They're an analytical organization. And they're favorites in their division. And then we'll see with the Guardians. They have a lot of bounce-back candidates on offense. Just everyone underperformed last year outside of Jose Ramirez. Mm-hmm. And they have guys like Shane Bieber who could bounce back. They have youth as well in their rotation, which I like. Guys like Tanner Bibee who could be on Cy Young ballots. He's got that type of potential. So those would be the two teams I'd look at. And then the other thing is that, like, you can get like plus 650 on the Braves to win the World Series. That to me is just too big. I don't understand why the Braves are considered a worse team than the Dodgers. The Braves offense, I think, stacks up perfectly well against the Dodgers. I think they have a better bullpen and I think they have a better rotation. So I don't understand. And I think they play in an easier division as well. So I don't really understand why the Braves are less likely to win the World Series than the Dodgers.
I think you're preaching to the choir. If you made me only take one NL team, it's definitely the Braves. I liked your whole breakdown. I, you know, generally agree with that. I guess the one thing to bring up is I don't agree with the price, the relative pricing of Yankees, Orioles, or Astros, Rangers. I think Astros, Rangers are basically a draw. That division looks pretty winnable for the Rangers, in my opinion. And if they do, they're getting a top two seed. They're getting a bye. That's why I think 14-1 is probably a fair price. I don't love the Orioles ultimately being able to get there this year. Still really young team, still a lot to kind of prove, having, you know, their first run through the playoffs last year be somewhat of a disaster. And I think, if you want Yankees, the time to do it is probably, oh, I don't know, like 60 days from now when Gerrit Cole comes off the IL, because the Yankees rotation without Cole kind of stinks. And there's going to be a lot of starts from a lot of guys who are going to get beat, and their offense is going to have to carry this team if they can carry them. Meanwhile, if you look at sort of the way the schedule breaks for the Orioles, the month of June, they just get thrown into the wood chipper. Like, the month of June for the Orioles is hellacious. So I think 60 days kind of times out right, where you might have the Orioles with a, oh, I don't know, we'll just say a 6-game lead on the Yankees. And here we are sitting now preseason saying that, yeah, with that full strength, these teams are, you know, pretty similar, if not, you know, Yankees slightly better. And if you can come in on Yankees, you know, kind of around the middle, you know, early to mid June, I think maybe that you're getting a better value than you're getting right now.
Yep, no, I agree with all that. The Orioles are a weird team because you think of them as, I think they won 101 games last year or something like that, and they're young, so you expect them to get better. One, they like violently overachieve what their win total should have been. And then two, you just kind of look at the team, and as someone who had bet on the Orioles to win the American League last year, it's like, how is this team? How did this team win 101 games? Like, in the lineup, like Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson are stars. Beyond that, it's like, all right, Ryan O'Hearn, Ryan Mountcastle, Ramon Urias. I mean, I know they have guy prospects coming up, but in the rotation, like Corbin Burns, excellent. Grayson Rodriguez, excellent in theory. He was fantastic towards the end of the season, but he's very young and he'll have to show it again. And then it's like Tyler Wells, Dean Kramer, Cole Irvin. I don't know. I think there's a little bit of star depth missing, but maybe some of the youth coming up will provide it. All right, the Premier League race is tightening, and one of the most important matches of the season is this Sunday when Erling Haaland and Man City take on Arsenal as the Gunners try to claim their first title in 20 years. Watch the matchup at 11:30 Eastern, only on NBC and Peacock.
Ross has all the spring deals you want, so you can say yes to more looks for you and your budget. Tube tops for less? Yes. Dad shorts for the weekend? Yes. Mini skirts for less than online? That's a yes for you and your bank account. Find your certified yes for me moment and save 20 to 60% off department store prices every day at Ross. Hurry in for spring deals today. Items and styles vary by store.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
All right, Drew, what's your best bet for the weekend?
Well, I've put a lot of money into play on baseball, Jay.
Sure.
It took all of 2 at-bats and 2 data points to kind of, I don't know, confirmation bias me into thinking that the ball is juiced in baseball and that we're going to have a lot of overs this weekend. So let's go runs. That's kind of where my head is at right now. I'm very, very hopeful that Elena Rybakina can win this Miami on the women's side. Across basketball, like, you know, we're hanging on for dear life with a handful of things, but the game that definitely, stands out the most is Orlando against the Clippers tomorrow. That's a big one. And the Clippers, did they right the ship? Who knows? They got a win. I'm going to be taking on the Clippers tomorrow with Orlando. And Orlando gets that win, I think we can sleep pretty easy in April.
Yeah, I will say, like, that Clippers, one, just trading this most improved player market has been absolutely painful of late, where one, Coby White starts Wednesday night, 3 of 16. And eventually he hits his last five shots. So he salvages his line a little bit. 8 of 21 looks a lot better than 3 of 16. 18 points and a win. Live to fight another day, as Elena Rybakina brings up break point. But the Clippers-Sixers game, I'm just seeing my eyes flash before my – I'm seeing my life flash before my eyes, because they've got this stupid jump ball at the end with 5 seconds left. By the way, completely insane that Ty Lue challenged – the foul on Maxi. It's like, you need that timeout, Ty. Like, you need the timeout in case they score. And it was never going to get overturned. Yeah. And then the ball, it goes to Kawhi, wins the tap, and then he taps it to Batum. Batum knocks it out to Buddy Hield. And I'm just like, don't let Maxi shoot it at the buzzer. Don't let him shoot it at the buzzer on national TV in James Harden's return to Philadelphia. And then all I'm doing is watching Maxi. He is wide open at the top of the arc. And there was just like a cluster of bodies, but they're all moving away from him, except he stands at the three-point line. If he'll just passes it to Maxi, it is a wide open three at the buzzer for the win. Yeah. Instead, passes it to Oubre. Oubre definitely gets fouled. I mean, he should have been sent to the line, but he gets the shot off after as time expires. But anyway, a ridiculous game. But hopefully...
truly.
Yeah, hopefully the Clippers can continue to just meander through and lose to our beloved Magic. My best bet for the weekend, and it's cheating because it's not really temporally specific to the weekend, but I just want to, again, repeat this because I think this is the best preseason awards bet in a while. And given that the season is about to kick off, for the Atlanta Braves, kickoff, not the right term, but the first pitch shall be thrown for the Braves on Thursday. Ronald Acuna should not be plus 525 to win MVP in the NL. The gap between him and second in WAR projections on Fangraphs, it's the biggest gap in the history of Fangraphs between first and second. And Acuna is valued above his WAR. Because one, his defense isn't great and people don't realize it and they don't weight defense enough. Two, everyone loves his steals and his speed, and that doesn't impact WAR as much as I think it impacts the voter perception of Acuna. And so I just don't understand when you look at that, like outside of Shohei when he's pitching, he should just be the shortest MVP favorite in the history of Fangraphs, given that his WAR projection is that significant and the gap is that significant, and he goes beyond his WAR appeal to voters. And the fact that the team has the highest floor in baseball, I think they're projected for 101 wins, that type of range. Again, he won MVP last year unanimously, despite being tied in WAR with Mookie Betts and being the third unluckiest hitter in all of baseball and registering the most barreled ball outs in the history of tracking in the sport. Like, it's insane. He's basically the unluckiest hitter in baseball, and he won MVP unanimously over a freak Mookie Betts season. He's 26 years old. There's no reason why he shouldn't. I think he should be more in like the plus 200 to plus 250 range. And it's really a bet on health, I think, and avoiding outliers. Are you with me on Acuna?
Oh, yeah. No, your case is extremely strong. I made these bets when you made the case on the podcast earlier this year. And people may have missed it because it was quite early relative to baseball really being in the public consciousness. But it's here now. And it's not too late.
Okay. Ronald Acuna, let's do it. And don't forget to check out NBCSports.com for more information to help you with your wages. Thanks to those of you watching on the NBC Sports YouTube channel. And if you're listening to us in podcast form, don't forget to rate and subscribe. Also, a reminder to find all your favorite NBC Sports shows on Amazon Music. Just head to amazon.com/NBCSports. From Jay Croucher and Drew Dinsick, enjoy the week.
Ross has all the spring deals you want, so you can say yes to more looks for you and your budget. Tube tops for less? Yes. Dad shorts for the weekend? Yes. Mini skirts for less than online? That's a yes for you and your bank account. Find your certified yes for me moment and save 20 to 60% off department store prices every day at Ross. Hurry in for spring deals today. Items and styles vary by store.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.